Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Welcome to the 2022 season of the Dog Pod. I'm here with Law Dog and Mitch for a ninth straight season of this beautiful podcast, the thing we call the Dog Pod. Gentlemen, you guys ready for some Husky football?
You betcha.
All bark, no bite.
And look, what a summer it's been. So much to talk about. Obviously, thing on everybody's mind is Pac-12 going back to the Pac-10 realignment, what that means for Washington moving forward. And that's where we're going to spend a little bit of time today. Law Dog, talk to us, buddy. Like, how did we get here? From the last time we spoke, we were welcoming in Kalen DeBoer. None of us had saw this coming, let's be honest. And all of a sudden, we wake up and Twitter's exploded. The world has changed. SC, UCLA, two more years to the Big Ten. What happened?
Yeah, you just wake up one morning and all of a sudden your brothers who were laying in the bunk next to you, you know, basically left town and without a trace, right? No, this has its roots all the way back to the 1980s, guys. I mean, University of Georgia and Oklahoma sued the NCAA for antitrust, and they said, you cannot control how many times we can appear on television. And they beat the NCAA. And after that, the NCAA said, fine, we're out of the television business, and turned that over to the conferences. And ever since then, I mean, immediately you saw the Southwest Conference dissolve, right? Arkansas goes to the SEC, Texas goes to the Big 12. And, you know, a lot of people forget this, but the Pac-10 at the time was actually courting Texas as far back as the early 90s. And governor at the time, Ann Richards, was like, no, you're not going to a new conference without my Baylor Bears. And so she nixed it, you know. And so I think there's been this perception that the politicians, you know, will stop all of this. But I think we're going to find out that they really are not going to be able to do much. So, yeah, this conference arms race that just got started way back when, 35, 40 years ago, has just, you know, it's been affecting all parts of the country except for ours, right? We've been largely intact to the extent we've been adding teams over the years a little bit. But now it finally kind of washed up on our shores, and the Big Ten, you know, negotiating a new TV contract a year ahead of where the Pac-12 is going to be in those negotiations, you know, just quietly reaches out, or vice versa. And, you know, the LA schools say, hey, we can make $80, $90, $100 million a year in our media rights rather than the $30 to $40 that the Pac-12 is going to pay us. Who's going to say no to that, right? I mean, we understand, I think, that the arms race in college football, it's just that the gaps have gotten so large and so dramatic that it's kind of, you know, I look at it as a Husky fan, I'm sure you guys are the same, and think, how are we going to keep up in this world? How are we going to compete? Because 6 years ago, we were knocking on the door in the Final Four, and now, you know, will we ever be able to play in that tournament again? Was my first thought when I heard this news.
Yeah, absolutely, Mitch. What were your thoughts when you heard the news?
No, I mean, I think that's a great breakdown by Law Dog. You know, a couple of things after the shock kind of wore off. You know, from my perspective, I think it was a Winston Churchill quote in the 1940s: "Never let a good crisis go to waste." Right? Mm-hmm. Look, we were falling by the wayside over in the Pac-12. We were starting to get passed by. Again, our great guy, John Wilner, down at the San Jose Mercury News, was continuing to document how all of the top recruits were leaving the West Coast.
That was starting five or six years ago.
Years ago, and right? So it's been going on for a while now.
Blossoming on the tree, exactly.
Exactly. And so what are we going to do, right, to start really making some sea change? And I hope this is the shot across the bow. Instead of looking back and continuing to moan about how the Big Ten came and poached our LA media market, which, look, I am as bitter about it as anybody. But guess what? That ship has sailed. I'm very doubtful, to your point, Law Dog, that Governor Newsom and the UC Board of Regents are going to be able to do anything to hold back UCLA. And in fact, I'm nervous that they do find a way to do that, because if USC goes and they need to find one more school, then things start getting real dicey in our conference, I think, which could be an interesting kind of angle to explore here, right? If that really happens, because we all know Notre Dame is going to stay independent for several more years, right? So my point is, it was time for a change. We needed a change. Mm-hmm. It's accelerating that change. Now let's get on the offensive. I love the thing about the Twitter rights that they're, you know, we're going all in on NIL as a conference. Hey, guess what? You can benefit as an athlete in the Pac-12 now by getting your Twitter highlights retweeted, right? Let's go. Let's start innovating. Let's do more. And whether that's a partnership with ACC, whether it's, you know, leveraging this supposed gem of a media consortium that we started building, the ability, the technology behind it to simulcast five games at a singular time. Maybe ESPN will tie that into a package with the ACC or another conference where we don't necessarily need to do a merger, but we can find ways to be cutting edge and leverage the strengths that we have versus always trying to catch up retroactively as a conference.
Yeah, and we could have done those things with UCLA and USC in the conference.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I think that's the problem is, you know, we should have been looking at doing those things anyway. And I think this is kind of, I mean, to be fair, this just chops our leg off, right? This chops off our leg, the LA media market. And I am of the opinion that we cannot entirely concede that market. Now, I don't know how, you know, whether it's adding Loyola Marymount or something to the Pac-12, like, I don't know how you do it, but I do not think we can concede that market. And I think you heard George Kliavkov strike that tone on media day, right? We're going to play at SoFi Stadium. We're going to do stuff like that. I don't know how many LA fans will come watch Stanford versus Arizona State.
As many SoFi as watch Stadium. Every Stanford game in Palo Alto.
Yeah. So, so, I mean, you know, you're going to have to make that one hell of a special event. But, you know, Pac-12 championship, obvious relocation now. I mean, I think at one time we were like, okay, how do we fold Vegas into the Pac-12? Now it's like, now we need to protect our own shore. So I think we're moving that thing right back to LA. Yeah. And, you know, this was, I don't think there's any way to slice it. This was a devastating blow. Right. I mean, if you were a Big 12 fan last year at this time, you were devastated that Texas and Oklahoma were packing up and leaving. And now,
in my opinion, no question, a bigger loss. Absolutely.
I agree that's a bigger loss. We have better kind of brands and programs in the 3-12 spot than they did. I totally agree with that. But at the same time, I mean, there isn't like any, you know, fuzzy glasses you can look at this with and come away thinking that we're going to be okay. I think this is a blow. It's a body blow. So, you know, I think that leads us to, you know, what's next, because the three of us are Husky fans. We want to play in that Final Four again someday. Do we have to join the Big Ten to do that? Can we create a Pac-10 or a Pac-12 that's going to be capable of competing with those other conferences? I think those are the big open questions. I don't have the answers.
Well, and I think the question being, if you truly believe that this is going to come down to two super conferences, or maybe three, you know, 20 team super conferences, and everyone else is left out, where, you know, we talk about Power Five, and all of a sudden it's going to be Power Two super conference, everybody else is out. Well, you better be self-interested right now.
You better UCLA be in one
USC,
of them.
Yeah, UCLA and USC played the self-interest card, and you can't really blame them for that. There's a lot of questions and people throwing out accusations that USC, you know, the people said made overtures to the Big Ten that said the only way you're getting us is if you, like, turn your back on it's only us and UCLA. You're not bringing Oregon and Washington. And maybe who knows whether there's truth to that or not.
Do you really think that USC and their arrogant fans and administrators and stuff are afraid of the teams that, frankly, have been kicking their ass for the last 6 or 7, 8 years? No,
I don't think they have that muscle. I don't think they have that muscle with the Big Ten to even if they wanted to say that.
They're one vote.
But what I think is scary is, you know, like, think of the bygone conferences, and you say, like, the Southwest Conference, and you would, you know, admit one time that had Texas and Oklahoma, Arkansas, et cetera. you forget that there were schools in there like Rice and SMU and others that don't survive in any sense. And if this thing falls apart, like, where are you going to go? So Washington, I think, needs to be very self-interested at this point. I hate it. I literally hate it, because if you're just looking at the product that's put on the field, let's not kid ourselves. NFL football is a higher caliber football, and it's not even close. Like, everyone that you talk about, Alabama is going to take on the Browns or whoever. Look, the Browns would beat Alabama 70-0. It's not even like it's a better caliber of sport. Why do we love it? The college affiliation, the regional affiliation. We're playing Oregon. We're playing California. We're going down to Arizona. It's these historic 100-year rivalries.
Get in the car, go down to the game.
That's right. That's right. And my aunt went to Wazoo, and she's coming into town for the game. And now, you know, the Oregon fans that you meet at work, and you can jaw back and forth, the BYU-Utah rivalries, all those things that make this sport amazing and allow you, like no other sport is there, no other sport's even close to this, that has this subpar, I hate to say, product on the field, you know, apples to apples against the NFL. But if I feel like we're playing the short game right now, which is chasing dollars and chasing survival versus what, you know, at some point do people go, I don't know, man, it's these two 20 team power conference that have no regional affiliation. I guess I'll just turn the NFL on. Like, maybe I'm being pessimistic. I'm saying to that, like, if Washington is left out of this, we're always going to follow Washington football. But at some point,
our interest is not going to be what it's been. We're not going to do the traveling trips.
And John Q viewer at home isn't going to either, you know, but I don't think you can stop. It doesn't matter. You can't stop this train.
That's honestly the best point that I have not heard. I totally agree. 100% agree. And I have not heard that made when you talk about this national conversation on with the college football media and all that. Nobody's talking about how the reason I'm turning on Auburn, Alabama, or, you know, Michigan, Ohio State is because of the pageantry and the rivalry and all that. But it's also because it's part of this larger framework that we're following, right? If it's just we're left behind and schools like us, and think about if you're a school like Wazoo, Oregon State, they're not going to be part of these super conferences. Yep. So why are they watching college football, you know, if they don't really see themselves, you know, flourishing within it? And I growing the game, what you're talking about, BT, is growing the game. If you're just going to take the top 30, 40 TV markets in the country and say, okay, these are, you know, the power teams and the power conferences, then you've got all these people all over the country that you're not giving them a reason to watch, right? Mm-hmm. If they want to watch great football, they could just watch the Red Zone on Sundays. That's mm-hmm. that's your point.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's we are accelerating the transition here to minor league NFLism, right? Which it feels like is we are heading in that direction. You know, one of the things that's interesting, Law Dog, that you brought up the lawsuit back in the day with Georgia. One of the things that was a reminder to me, I actually lost track of this, that the CFP is an entirely different entity than the NCAA. Like, I was like that. I was like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that. And like, how is it that there is an March Madness tournament that's the NCAA runs and is branded that way, and they have totally lost control of football from that perspective?
And Mitch, that is 100% the root cause of the problem. And if that in 1985 taken the approach of, okay, we're going to do a 16-team playoff, and all the conference champions from the WAC to the SEC are going to be in it, and they're going to play for the national title and sold those TV rights and distribute them around the country the way they do with the NCAA tournament, we would be talking about a much healthier college football industry right now that's not concentrated in the hands of the bowls and you know, the big power schools. I mean, that's completely true.
Well, the teethless nature of the NCAA, like, we have decided now, there's this, how student athletes, you can make money, name, image, like this. We have decided we're not going to decide. Y'all do what you want. Right. And then, you know, for what you said from a playoff perspective, we have decided some other organization can kind of figure it out. We're going to take a back seat here. Like, at what point there's just no teeth left.
Well, and so back in the 60s and 70s and whatnot, you know, they would announce the national champions before the bowl games, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And it was like right, that was the season. Yeah. And it was mm-hmm. it was like, oh, they're 12-0, they're 11-1, and it was a total mess. And the bowls are actually the ones who have been, as corrupt as they are, they're the ones who have been steering us toward this finding a true champion. You know, and it started with the BCS, and there's a tremendous book about this called Death to the BCS by Dan Wetzel, who's a Yahoo writer. It just talks about how ridiculous it is that these bowl-like organizations, I mean, they're basically laundering money. They're printing money from college football that should be going to players. Instead, it's going to old white guys in like Dallas, you know, who are running these bowls. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And you gotta like just be amazed that the genie is so far out of the bottle that the NCAA can't do anything about it. Imagine if they came back and said something like, guess what? This is college sports. We're taking back control of this again. Mm-hmm. They'll have to figure out the bowl. Bowls are gone. There's a 16-team, a 32-team thing. And
but
guess what?
If you don't want to
participate, if you don't want to participate, your basketball team can't play in March Madness. Like, I wonder what would happen then. Like, yeah. Heads would explode.
Who's going to watch Central Michigan versus Alabama in round one when they could be watching USC versus Alabama in round one? And that's kind of the point.
So, okay, so let's talk about what's next for Washington then. And I'll just hand out a bunch of scenarios. You've got one, you know, Pac-12 stays together and let's say they maybe add San Diego State, as Klyavkov has talked about, or they say, look, the only way, guys, we can keep this thing together, we're going to go unequal distribution share. Wazoo, Oregon State, suck it up. You know, it's the only way we're keeping Oregon, Washington, everybody in, and maybe recruiting some new members as well. We're going to go unequal, but we're going to hold this together. And so, one of those we either add, we do unequal share, we do something, but we're holding together. And so in 5 years, Washington's playing in this whatever, you know, Pac-10, Pac-11, if San Diego State, whatever, it survives. Second thing, we go to the Big Ten, right? And I think the way you have to talk about that is what happens to Notre Dame. And Notre Dame holds all the chips in their hands right now. And depending on what they decide to do, there may or may not be room for a Washington, Oregon, or Stanford. You know, see, Big 12, I think, was amazing how much when we peel back the onion, we're seeing that they aren't in a very good negotiating position at all from a TV rights perspective and really aren't that power player that they're thinking of, but they're trying to pick off others and maybe that happens. You know, D, there's some ACC, I think an ACC Pac-12 merger is a pipe dream in my opinion, but there could be some type of, look, we're going to have a championship game between the two, some loose affiliation. What do you think plays out? What happens to us? You know, we got 2 years left with this organization as it stands. What happens to us in 3-4 years?
Well, I mean, it could be some combination there, right? You could imagine an A and D type of thing, a loose affiliation. The Pac-12 picks up a few teams. I think you're missing an E as well, BT, which is potentially the Apple 12 or whatever, where our media rights deals goes to some Amazon or Apple streaming company, right? Which would be kind of insane. You know, and that one gets me nervous because, again, while the dollars may be there, I'm not sure the viewership is. You know, mm-hmm. if you talk to older generations, they don't even watch the NFL games that are on the NFL network because they can't figure out how to load the app. They don't know where that's at. Like, I want to be able to turn on the channel 4, you know, watch my watch my team play, right? Like that's real, right? And I don't, you know, mean to denigrate or, you know, kind of put down anybody, but there's some truth behind that, right? And so, gosh, these waters are so complicated. I, you know, what would be fascinating would to be just to be a fly on the wall to watch and hear how these athletic departments and these presidents are jockeying with each other. Is there this behind the scenes deal where Oregon doesn't want to go with Washington because they feel like they have a higher brand quality, or USC is voting against another West Coast team to join a conference? Like, there's so much at play here. It's like incredibly, it kind of blows my mind on the negotiations that Klyavkov must be doing behind the scenes, because it must be on so many fronts. Is, you know, it's fascinating.
That's right.
Yeah, I think where is realistically are we going to go? I think the answer to that is I don't think there's going to be a lot of change immediately. I mean, there always is this frenzy kind of that's created with a move like this, and then everybody's scrambling. And last year, the Big 12 was like really scrambling and made a bunch of moves right away, right? I think history would have served them better to maybe wait and see how that had played out a little bit. Texas and Oklahoma aren't leaving for several more years. Do you really need to add four schools right away? Because now, you know, a merger with the what's left of the Pac-10 may have made sense if you don't have BYU and Cincinnati watering down your distributions and all that. So that's one thought. The Big Ten is really likely to just stay with 16 right now. That's a good number. The SEC is at 16. I mean, they don't want to necessarily be the ones seen as destabilizing college football. And I know there's a great article in The Athletic a week or so ago about the old WAC conference, which was 16 teams, and then it kind of got dissolved and the Mountain West came out of that and some other things. But basically, it's hard to feed that many mouths was the theme of the article. And it's also you create antitrust issues if you are seen as disrupting disrupting the economic flow of rights of another school or another conference. You're potentially inviting scrutiny for being a monopoly, right? And the Big Ten's not totally monopoly, but are they anti-competitive with what they're doing? I mean, here we have a partnership with them in the Rose Bowl, the Pac-10 and the Big Ten, Pac-12, Big Ten. It's gone back years and years and years. And here they just took a hatchet and knocked our leg off, right? And they just napalmed the tradition of the Rose Bowl, to use a term I heard on Pat Forty's podcast. Want to necessarily be the ones who are going to be like, you know, on the other end of this litigation, where if Klyavkov says, hey, you screwed me over, right? I'm going to sue you. The NCAA, gets involved. They don't want any part of that, is what I'm saying. So my guess is that they're going to stay at 16, at least for several more years. And so I think we're going to have to make a way to find a way to make the Pac-10 work. Expansion, again, you got to remember, you're feeding more mouths. Are you bringing in more money? San Diego State's been talked about, I know, on the hotline, and there's been rumors about that. Are they really going to, is that, you know, really going to lift the tide and lift all the boats with it? I'm not really sure about that.
But fair to say, everybody's pay goes down by 3 to 5 million.
Yeah, but then you could also say, okay, well, you're getting half a share, like the Big Ten did to Maryland and Rutgers on the last TV contract, and now they're full members going into the next one. So there's things you can do, and if the Pac-10 is going to expand, I kind of actually hope that they do something like that and say, look, Fresno State, San Diego State, you got to kind of earn your way in here a little bit. We're elevating you to a place that you're dying to go to. So we hold the cards in those situations. I think you're better off, honestly, just sticking at 10 and trying to work out some kind of non-conference scheduling alignment, championship game that you're talking about there, Mitch. I think you're better off trying to say, okay, Pac-12 champion's going to play the ACC champion every year, and that's going to be on Championship Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, now that team is going to, have a launching pad into the playoff. I don't know.
I love the idea of that. You can kind of lure Vegas out there for non-con games.
Please. The drawback there too is that, we don't know. I should say the flip side of it is we don't know what this next playoff system is going to look like either. Like we had a chance to kind of, have an automatic bid, and we basically said, no, we want, to be on equal footing with those conferences. Well, I think in retrospect, we can now say that was never going to be the case. So that's been a pretty tough decision now.
Yeah.
Getting 1/12 of that playoff money is better than getting zero of that playoff money. And that could be a direction we're headed. It's certainly where we've been for the last 5-6 years.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. In hindsight's 2020, when you look back at that decision, that's been pretty painful. Pretty tough.
We'll look at that as catastrophic in time.
I think. And you know, I mean, it's hard to point fingers. It was Klikyas for like what first? How many months was he on the job? Three when he walked into that, but that was pretty brutal. There are so many moving parts.
True.
It's hard to see the Pac-12 chancellors and ADs in charge of this conference making a radical decision. It's really hard to see that. Yeah. I agree that I think they'll make that. This is going to be an academic type of feeling, I think, for our conference, where it's going to be incremental. Like I would just be shocked if they come out and make some major change. I feel like they've understand now maybe that there's some alacrity that needs to be put in place, but I really think they're going to approach it from an academic perspective and be a little bit cautious, but be, you know, kind of, there's too many variables when you put them in there and so many implications at play. They're going to treat it like a science hypothesis is my perspective, right? Let's change one thing at a time and see what happens.
Let's see what happens. Let's tinker with what, yeah.
So BT, could I throw one other option at you too?
Sure.
You know, as soon as this all went down, I was kind of writing my little notes, and I was writing down all the teams of the remaining Power Five. I think that term's probably going to be gone in the near future. But you know, it's possible if you were going to start from scratch, there's no way you would create a new conference that would have Washington and Washington State, for example, or that would have Oregon and Oregon State, right?
Doesn't make sense.
You would take the top kind of schools from the top markets that are remaining on the board and put them in one thing. So what if we had a 16 team conference that was, say, Clemson, Miami, North Carolina, Washington, Oregon, Stanford, Oklahoma State, you know, whatever, but you take the remaining kind of pieces of what's left of the Power Five and you put together another conference there. Now, to your earlier point, you're absolutely eviscerating the traditions and rivalries of college football. You're doing that as a pure survival technique, right, at that point. But I think that would be a really interesting outcome, and that may be just where we're headed anyway. I mean, USC is now in the damn Big Ten. So it's like, what does it matter? They're going to be playing Purdue, and we're going to be like, why did we want this again? Right. UCLA versus Indiana?
Why are we here?
Why are we fighting about who can broadcast this game? Okay, whatever. Amazing.
Yeah. Go ahead, BT.
enjoy your road games, UCLA fans. I don't know if you guys travel anyway, but enjoy. It's going to be just a real darling set of trips for you. I think there's a couple things. Like, one, I don't want to be too critical of Klyavkov because, you know, let's be honest, Larry Scott gave him a steaming pile of shit
who was handed a steaming pile of shit by Tom Hansen before him. I mean,
that's true.
This has been in a spiral for a long time.
Good God, Larry Scott. I mean, come on. Was just absolutely horrible start to finish. And I think, you know, Klyavkov's saying the right things, and at least he's honest when he talks and, you know, doesn't act like a McKinsey consultant every time he's on the mic. But look, he was caught with his pants down here, and, you know, was in Montana on vacation and wasn't ready. And I would say maybe none of us were. We admit we weren't. But what was he doing at the time to get in USC's ear and UCLA's ear saying, hey, I need you. You guys are number one here. And I really hope he's learned from that and is doing the same thing to Washington. I hate to say it, Oregon, maybe Stanford to a lesser extent, but he better make damn sure he doesn't lose another one, if not two, or this whole thing goes down. Oregon has a trump card that we don't, right? They've got the Nike brand and they got the Phil Knight money, and Phil Knight can be making overtures to the other brand saying, look, this is my baby. I want to see a national championship before I leave. And here's a check, Big Ten, or here's a set of rights deals or Nike sponsorship to others. And I've learned about some stuff recently of how circumventing NIL, what Phil Knight would do is, if you look at like some of the contracts that ex Oregon players were offered in the NFL are 10-20x what better NFL players were offered. And why was that? So when they came out of high school, Phil Knight said, you go to Oregon, I can't do anything for you now, but you go to the NFL and your contract is going to be the best thing you've ever seen. And so Joey Harrington gets a contract that's better than Brett Favre's, right? And these are things that Phil Knight can do. You know, I'm not hating on it. Look, I wish we had a Phil Knight. We don't. They have that trump card, and if he leaves, if they leave, we're in trouble. If for some reason the Big Ten gets cute and Notre Dame says, you know, who I'd like to have is our old friends at Stanford that we have this road game with, and we'd love to have that academic brand that elevates the academic brand of the Big Ten, that could be one. And if we lose one or two more, this whole ship is just gone. And I hope they're doing everything to avoid it. On the other side, I hope that our side doesn't get too cute with, I could see, you know, our politicians and some, maybe it's Anne Marie Calce and others who say, look, we don't care about football above everything. And we want to stay together as a regional school and miss on the opportunity and shoot ourselves in the foot to, you know, go to the Big Ten before there isn't another option. Not that I'm saying I want to, but like before we are not part of whatever this Power Two, Power Three thing is, which is a little scary. I think what Gavin Newsom is doing right now in California to me is just political pandering, where you know, he's on a presidential run. He wants his name in the news. And so it's easy for him to make a bunch of noise. The best thing he's going to get out of this thing is probably maybe UCLA pays a fine to help the absolutely abysmal state of Cal athletic department. Right. But he's not going to stop this thing. He's just trying to get his name in the door, but I could see Washington doing something. So
yeah. Could I jump in on that point, BT?
Yeah. Because,
you know, Mitch brought it up earlier too. I haven't seen anybody who's published a really detailed legal analysis of California law about whether or not they could do this. I mean, the one thing that we know for sure is that the Board of Regents controls the budget, right, and can hit them in the purse strings. And so what you just said, that's about the only recourse that I'm hearing or understanding that they could go to UCLA and say, okay, you're getting X number of dollars. You need to split that with Cal, your sister school, because you're screwing them. They could do something like that. Mm-hmm. There are probably other financial steps they could take, withdraw funding from X, Y, and Z. But I mean, I think the idea that UCLA is going to somehow remain in the conference is probably kind of a pipe dream.
Yeah, agreed. I think you have to understand, like, we have 2 years left, and I'll be at the UCLA game this year, and I'll go to the USC game next year because I don't know when we're going to see him again. You know, this is 10-20 years, which is just insane to me, given the history of all I saw was purple. And, you know, the great years that UCLA had and those trips down to the Rose Bowl, those are tough to miss as a fan.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's making it so painful, right? You're destroying those traditions. Look, it's a money game, right? Like, I think everybody's got to wake up to it too, right? Like, that's what is king now. It's viewership and it's money. And you know, guess what? You got to change. You have to evolve to that. And I think BT, I think there's a real risk with, you know, kind of the regents that are running the ship right now that, you know, maybe the folks in charge at Washington, Anna Maria Calce, I'm nervous about that maybe they take a little bit too hard of a stance of we're going to take the high road here and we're going to pair up with Washington State, hell or high water. Eesh. And guess what? That could be real bad. That could be real bad for Washington.
Yeah. Because your traditional football powers go, you guys are idiots. We're kind of done with you at this point. Like, we're going to move on from this. It's why I thought the Big 12 moving Texas and Oklahoma is bigger is the national branded money that Texas brings and the Texas network. And Oklahoma is your only like winning. You know, look, they're the conference. They've won the Big 12 however many years in a row and been part of every BCS where they get stomped. The one thing I thought was interesting was, do you guys know the last time Texas won the Big 12?
2009.
Wow. This is one of those things that you forget of, like, USC and UCLA, where you're like, hey, we do have this amazing market, but they haven't been incredibly relevant within the conference from a championship perspective. You know, right. Outside of USC, like a blip of a year for quite some time. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be very interesting. It's sort of sad if they are 5-7 over the next 5 years in the, you know, the first 5 years in the Big Ten.
SEC.
Yeah.
Texas in the SEC.
No, yeah, that's right. That's what's in. Yeah, Texas in the SEC. That's right.
No, I think, what's kind of, I agree with everything that's been said. Obviously, you know, we're mourning, I think, the loss of a rivalry with USC. You know, it's not their biggest rivalry. It's not our biggest rivalry, but I mean, it's a game that was always circled on our calendar. Like, okay, especially when it was down there. Okay, how are we going to win that game, right? And so I'm definitely, you know, with you guys. I'm sad to see it go. However, you know, this has been the trajectory of college football for 3 decades. And, yeah, you know, right. It's like Mitch says, we have to adapt or die. And I hate to say it, but I almost think we need to start becoming more like some of the schools we dislike, that I won't mention them by name, but and build our own national brand and identity, mm-hmm. and something like that. Because this is a good program that has a lot to offer. It's got a lot of tradition. It's got a lot of success. You know, recently some success, but certainly over the long term, a lot of success. And we should be a coveted, you know, jewel if I was a Big Ten fan, I'd rather have us than like Purdue, Illinois, Minnesota, you know,
Indiana, Maryland, Rutgers.
We don't get to start from scratch, right? We don't get to start from scratch. So I think for Washington's sake, they have to. I mean, I'd like to see them bring in like a branding consultant. I'd like to see them really think outside the box here and try to, you know, get the Washington football identity in a place where it's marketable for the future, whether that's getting more money in TV rights in our existing conference, or whether to compete with the bigger, you know, big boys, or whether it's, you know, getting invited to one of those bigger conferences where we're going to have a chance to compete. Ultimately, I want to play in that Final Four again. And how are we going to do that? I mean, however we do it, if it works, it's fine with me. But I want that to happen. To me, it seems like the easiest shortcut to making that happen is to join one of those power conferences.
How messed up is it that fate would have it that our president of our university is in charge of the Pac-12 chancellors right now, this year, when all of this stuff is happening? It kind of just blows my mind how these stars are all aligning in this way. Like, I feel really bad for Anna Maria Calci. She is like in a tough spot right now of trying to help navigate these waters, but at the same time trying to make sure the right thing happens for her school.
Yeah, she's also in the room with the Big Ten or on the phone with them when they say, we're not going to invite you now, but maybe later or whatever. She knows where the pieces on the chessboard are, Mitch. So that's something we don't know.
That is a benefit.
Well, look, as you said, it's an interesting conversation, and I think it's something that rocked the college football world, in particular our Husky college football world, this summer. But at the same time, nothing's going to happen in the next 2 years. We got the Pac-12 for the next 2 years. And if the Huskies make a move, it's probably not happening for some time after that. So we've got a great couple of years to enjoy. We got a road game against UCLA this year. We got a road game against USC the year after. We got Michigan State coming this year, our second game of the season. We'll be at Michigan State next year. We got an Apple Cup we got to get back in our hands. Losing for the first time in, I don't know what it was, and I want to call it, decade.
It'll be back soon enough.
It needs to get back in our hands. We have a brand new coach, and I think something that really is exciting people versus the disaster that was last year.
So we're going to come back. How about next week? Let's talk football.
We're going to come back and talk football next week. I'm just going to tip of the cap real quick. I guess that's it. Let's just tip our hand a little bit. Just to the listeners, we're going to come next week with a couple of shows. What's one thing you're excited about? Some big storylines we're going to talk about next week.
So I know everyone's going to be focused on the quarterback battle, and I'm definitely going to be watching that and fascinated along with that as well. But I also think you look at this death row defense, and I don't know if that's going to be shadows of its former self or whether there's enough, remaining guys to keep this defense near or at the top of the conference one more year, or to keep it rolling. I think that's really what I'm going to be watching, is this new defense, new coaching staff, no more two deep safeties. As much as I love the death row defense, last year was really difficult to watch. I'm really excited to see what this group of guys can do going into the season.
I agree 100%. And you know what helps out of all of this previous conversation just win, baby. Just start putting some W's up on the board to get some notice, right? Mm-hmm. I'm excited to, from what I've been reading so far about some of the receiver play, feels like some of the playmakers are stepping up there a little bit. We'll see what happens with our front seven. Our outside pass rush is looking pretty strong. I'm excited about that. This new different defense, to your point, Law Dog, with the Husky, coming in, that position's going to be real interesting to watch, a little bit more aggressive. But I'm telling you, you know, I know it's the first year, but I'm buying what this coach's staff is selling. I'm buying what the players are saying coming out of all of the spring practice, the fall practice now. I'm getting pretty darn excited. And so there's going to be a lot of really fun position battles to start breaking down.
Oh, so pumped. Everything I'm hearing about Kalen DeBoer is just, it's just awesome how he's involving the players and recruiting, how he's running practices. You know, I think it's just such a breath of fresh air, and I'm so excited about that. One thing I'm a little worried about, and I want to talk about next week, if I hate to end on this, but run game and our ability to stop the run. Those two things that were just our death knell 2 years ago. The running back room saga is really, really interesting. I'm super excited to talk about the passing game and the receivers and what we're going to be doing there, but the run game, it's going to be interesting, and it's a saga in and of itself, but we're going to get into those stories next week. We're going to talk offense. We're going to talk defense. We're going to talk the rest of the Pac-12 and give our preview, and what the schedule is going to look like. Just great to be back in the saddle. We're not too far off of college football. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Oof.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.